All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7. You may be seated. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter you in at the strait gate. Where do we have it? Enter all of you in at the straight gate. What does the word straight mean in the King James English? Narrow. And the narrow gate. How many people get into the narrow gate? Kind of be a pet, Steve. Come on over here. Just stand up. Just stand here. So here he and I are going to the gate, and we're I go first. So I make it in first. I beat him. How wide is the gate? Okay, it's narrow. Turnstile, narrow. How do you, what is the gate? What is that gate? Look at verse 13. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way. How wide is Route 95? Right over here behind me. How many cars go? Millions of cars. How many lanes? Three on that side, one in the middle, two in the middle, three more on the other side. People moving, and so we have the wide picture. And what does the broad way do? Leads to destruction. And many, how many? Many, many, many there be which go in thereat. All right, so I want to say to you this morning that you are different. You have been saved by God's grace. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Christ is formed in you, Colossians 1:28. You are a new creation. The old things have passed away. You have a new capacity, and that is to love God. Are there many people today that love God? No. There are many that go the broad way to destruction, and they do not know God, John 4:22. Romans chapter 3, 10 to 18 is a great list of what it means to be a sinner. How many sinners are in this room? All of the people in the room are, 100%. But how many are born again? We hope, we don't know. We that are born again are different. We have found Christ. Christ has been born in us by regeneration, Titus 3:5. Being born again, not of the will of man, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. To as many as received him, receiving him, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, John 3:13. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they have everlasting life. It's the desire of us as believers to encourage each other in their new identity and to encourage each other in discerning and recognizing the difference between the narrow way, and few there be that find it, and the broad way that leads to destruction. But you cannot find it by being legalistic. You cannot find the narrow way by living in your personality, your strengths, your preferences, your own ideas, your own mind. We find it a different way. It's born in us, but we live by faith in what God says in the Word. The Word of God makes a difference between us. For the entrance of your Word gives understanding to us, to the simple. Your Word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. The entrance of your Word gives light. Jesus said, if you hear what I say and build your house on what I say, you're like a man who is wise, building his house on a rock. We are different. Are we different? The world goes the broad way, and we found a little. I pulled over on 95. I pulled over to the side. I got out of my car. I walked down. There was a little bunny trail down there. And I took the little bunny trail over down into the woods, and I found. Apparently, he realized something. I found in the way of Jesus, I found God. I found in the way of God. And it was narrow as I entered, but as I came through the narrow, it came very broad. Psalm 119:99. The mind of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. I found something. The world cannot find it. I'd like you to turn to Judges 12 for a moment, and I'll help you. I want to introduce our message today after we do this part. It's just an illustration. Are there any people here who are, English is not their native language? English is not your native language. Filipino, is that Pastor Amir? Pastor Amir? Okay, Dutch. Okay, Farsi, Spanish. If we talked with these people, would they have an accent to our ears? Maybe, but some of them are very good in English, even though it's their second language. An accent is used to illustrate something that I want to say today. It's not primary, but I want you to see it here in the Bible in Judges chapter 12. They were capturing people up in the northern part of Israel. And they couldn't tell if those people, which tribe they were from, or which area they were from. So they had them say a word. And the word was the word Shibboleth, verse 6. So when they caught the person, they said, say Shibboleth, verse 6. Then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, what? Shibboleth. Do you see it? Top part. They said to him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Shibboleth. What does it mean? Actually, I don't know what the word means. But I know what they were looking for. They were saying, this is the word that is hard for you to say. Yeah, I mean, you're going to not say it exactly. And we will hear how you say it, and therefore identify you by how you say that word. I know in the Finnish language, for the Finns, this sounds th, th. We say the, right? In English, the. Th, th. That, where you put your tongue there between your teeth and you blow through. Th. Isn't in Chinese, is it L is hard to say? L, I think, in Spanish, there's a R, no, a V, El Salvador, Salvador, V, Salvador. We say Salvador, in Spanish, it's a Salvador, isn't it? Did I get it right? All right, so we could say El Salvador, and they'll say El Salvador. Is that right? I don't know. I'm making up part of my message. Okay, wait a minute. What's my point? You, in your life, and this is what this is all about, is for you to be able to recognize truth and discern it and know it when you hear it. Not something different, but you need to know. And I'll give you one example. I'm working on this thought of mine that's in my heart, and it's about our culture today and how people say things about us that are not true. Okay, let me tell you what I want to get. I want to tell you, this is what I want to say today. Three words: love. Two, joy. Three, community. This is what I want to say. This short message, or very important one, is what's different about us because we went the narrow way. We found these three words. We found love. And we want to know what love is, not what the world says love is. What is love? Have you ever seen a sign on the front lawn? Like, love is love, I think, is one of them. You know, the rainbow signs and all this thing, and no to hatred and so on, you know, these phrases. Yes, we understand. Hatred is, absolutely, hatred is not in a, love is in a, but what's the, when you say the word love, what's the accent? What do you mean, love? Do you mean love as in God? God is love? Or do you mean something else? In the world is filling up with a lot of words, and you need to know what they mean. Like the word homophobic, what does that mean? The world says you are homophobic. It's like, does that mean I'm afraid of homosexuals? I'm afraid of it? I'm not afraid. But you are homo. No, I am not. I don't know, that word is not in my heart. I am against homosexual lifestyle. It's very unhealthy on many levels. I'm against it. It's sin. It's against God. It's not it's the broad way. It's the way of the world. They say these words. There's another one, and it's misogyny. Do you know what it means? This word. You're misogynist. What does that mean? Go to the dictionary. It means, here it is in the middle, showing feelings of hating women or a belief that men are much better than women. Are you a misogynist? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Well, in the world, there is a whole vocabulary of words like racist. Racism exists, but am I a racist? Am I a misogynist? Am I a homophobic? I mean, are you telling me what I am? Like, do you know? And this is the thing about us, is that we need to know how we hear words and what they mean. And when we say things, they need to be very clear. Because when we say love, we understand what love is based on 1 Corinthians 13. Because the definition of love is from the Holy Spirit. In our world, we are learning what God is saying, what God means, what happens in our heart because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And our world is defined by God and His Word. There's a story I want to read in a little bit about that. But before we go there, I want to read this paragraph from Mother Teresa. She said, "Try not to judge people. If you judge others, then you are not giving love." When people say these kind of words about us, they're actually a judgment on us. But we are not judging people. We are learning love. And love is defined in two categories, what love is. And this is the list from 1 Corinthians 13. All right, so I don't know if you can see it because it's in the middle. What love is. Months ago or even years ago, we did a teaching on 1 Corinthians 13. And there are 16 things mentioned in that chapter. And 8 of them is what love is. And then the next list is here, what love is not. This church, and every church like it, is to be a love feast. A feast of love. That's why we come. It's a party, a spiritual fellowship. It's words. It's understanding. It's in our heart. We have a capacity because we entered a narrow way that brought us into the kingdom of God. And in that narrow way, we've said, I'm not interested in judging people. I'm more interested in loving people. I'm not interested in judging what's wrong. I would like to be an answer to the pain and the hurt and the trouble that is in life. I have found a new way. It's called love. Romans chapter 5:5. It's love that comes out of our hearts. It's a mind, it's a way of thinking. And this is what we have found in this story. Let me finish. She said, Mother Teresa said this, "If you judge others, then you are not giving love. Instead, try to help them by seeing their needs and acting to meet them." You know, you can see somebody having a problem and you could judge them and walk away, or you could see that they have a problem and you could try to help meet their need and help them in life. We had a group of, a lot of boys, Pat Lynch and Jen, they had the gym open yesterday morning. I don't know how many were there, 50 or 60 or how many boys, something like that, playing basketball from the city, little boys. And at halftime, they sat on the floor and listened to us. And we said, God has blessed us by giving us this gym. I don't know if I said it this way, but this gym is maybe the most beautiful gym in the whole city of Baltimore, at least on this street anyway. And you are blessed kids because you are welcome here to play basketball on Saturday morning. And they are 12 years old and 14 and 16 years old. These are kids, and we love them. They have a future. And I asked Coach Lynch, what should I share with these boys? You know, I don't really know what to say to them for a devotional. And he said, tell them they need to make good decisions. They can make bad decisions. And there'll be consequences to bad decisions. And make good decisions. So that's what I said to them. Make good decisions. And come here. And hang out with these kind of people. And who are your friends? And know that God loves you. And talk to God. That God cares about you. And when you have pain in your life or you're disappointed with yourself or you fail in life, always turn to God because God is not far from you and God is the answer. This is a ministry that happens from the narrow way. But when you enter in, It sounds, everything starts to sound right. It's about love. That's what life is about. The second word is joy. Joy is one of the best safeguards against temptation. The devil is a carrier of dust and dirt, and he uses every opportunity to throw what he has at us. But a joyful heart protects us from this dirt. That is because Jesus is there in our joy. Jesus takes full possession of our soul when we surrender it to him joyfully. All the world is finding fault with everybody. They're accusing, there's hatred, accusation, there's judging, there's putting people down. How about what we call now our cancel culture? That if you said anything or done anything in your past, you're canceled out. You don't have access. It's over. You're done. You're finished. In our society. Our society has a cancel culture for people that fail. That's wrong. That this is not God. God does not do that with us. God forgives us. God gives us another chance. God gives grace. God forgives. No, you did it. You messed up. You're frozen in that. You're done your history. You're out of the picture. Well, we've gone the narrow way. And in the narrow way, we found mercy and grace and a new beginning and a living God that forgives us. Our sins are forgiven and taken away. And there is no YouTube video or thing of my past that has happened that can mark me permanently. And I'm frozen in that, and it's over and gone and done. No. All my sins are buried in the deepest sea. My God is alive, and he gives grace to us. And he gives us joy and peace and a new beginning and a new name. We found the narrow way. The world doesn't know this way. They only know the way of destroying people. They just oppress us. You put you in a prison and they are in charge. They got the key. They're in charge. They can destroy your life. No, you can't destroy my life. No. Again, we found the narrow. We found Jesus. And he doesn't destroy us. He's a good shepherd. He forgives us. He gives us abundant life. We have a fellowship. Go back to this little list here. Where is it? This one. There we go. Love, joy, and then community. Today is Super Bowl Sunday in America. And we changed our service so you could go watch it and be with your family, however it goes. My family, we're going to get together and eat together, be there, and that'll be fun. Maybe in service tonight, afterwards, there are people that'll be here for the wrap, and we'll have a regular evening. I won't be in that one, but I'm sure that will happen for people that want to fellowship, continue in it. But when we get together as a family, is it going to be a feast, a Super Bowl feast where there is hatred? A Super Bowl feast where there is drunkenness? A Super Bowl feast where there is like something bothering me deep inside? Yes. Yes. This feast is not a feast. It's not a feast of love. Unfortunately, families they don't have a feast of love. A feast of disappointment, feast of betrayal, a feast of a failure, a feast of addiction, a feast of fear, a feast of, some disappointment or broken heart. But not this church or in any other church like it. It's not to be. It's to be a community of love, love and joy. and content and an accent that is right, the right sound. Say Shibboleth, and you say Shibboleth. You got it right. I know who you are. I know where you're from. I know you are a Jew. I know that you're of that. This is how they tested it. And you know, in our language, not only in our words, but in our hearts, there's a willingness to sacrifice. And there's a willingness to suffer pain and have trouble. Because the narrow way is not a way without trouble and without pain. It's a way of God that teaches us who Christ is. And Christ had pain, but he had love that was greater than pain. Christ was forsaken, but he was forsaken so we would never be forsaken. So this is a true story from the Middle Ages. It happened in Germany. It's kind of a funny story and also touching the heart. The year was 1141. Wolf, the Duke of Bavaria, sat trapped inside his castle of Weinsberg. Outside his walls lay the army of Frederick, the Duke of Swabia, and his brother, the Emperor Conrad. The siege lasted long, and the time had come when Wolf knew he must surrender. Messengers rode back and forth, terms were proposed, conditions allowed, arrangements completed. Sadly, Wolf and his officers prepared to give themselves to their bitter enemy, and they knew that it could be imprisonment or execution. It was serious. But the wives of Weinsberg were not ready to lose all. They sent a message to Conrad, asking the emperor to promise safe conduct for all the women in the garrison, that they might come out with as many of their valuables as they could carry. The request was granted. Soon the castle gates opened. Out came the ladies, but it was startling. They carried not gold or jewels. Each one was bending under the weight of her husband, whom she hoped to save from the vengeance of the victorious host. The wives didn't carry out gold and jewels and so on, but their husbands. Conrad, who was really a generous and merciful man, is said to have been brought to tears by the extraordinary performance. He hastened to assure the women of their husband's perfect safety and freedom. Then he did something amazing. He invited them all to a banquet. He made peace with the Duke of Bavaria on terms which were more favorable than expected. Look at the picture up here in the screen. It says, love, love. What kind of love? The women love their husbands. They carried the husband on her back in agreement with that condition and saved their husband's life. And the emperor, seeing it, was brought to tears. Because love does that. Not the world's love. It's just really cheap, selfish. It's about me. No suffering, no pain, no trouble, nothing discomfortable, uncomfortable, inconvenient. No, love has to be about me. It's a broad way. But Jesus teaches us something else. Suffering, sacrifice, hardship, wisdom, truth, discipline, forfeiting something, love. This is a feast that only you can have by entering in through the narrow way. And when we come into this love, we realize this is the silent love that is not judging people, but it's the love that covers a multitude of sins, that bears under the weight I have trouble and pain and hardship. This is what the United States of America needs. Now, the Broadway, I have a lot of words, a lot of talking, and a lot of accusation. It's another way. It's a way of loving my neighbor, loving my children, loving my wife. It's another love. It's forgiving somebody many times every day. It's another love. It's a love of showing up. And I was thinking about it today as we come together. I was thinking, why do we assemble? Because many of us come just because we want to see each other. That's all. We want to see each other's face. We want to see each other's heart. We want to see a sacrifice. We want to see an effort. We want to see an attitude. We want to see faith. We want to see God's love. We want to see joy. We want to laugh together. And when that emperor, he's brought to tears. He sees the women carrying their husbands out, and it touches him, and he goes, it's all over now. We're going to have a banquet. We're going to celebrate mercy. We're going to forgive. We're going to love. This is the meaning of the story in my mind. That it just touches my heart. Mercy rejoices over judgment. Don't be a judge of your sister or brother. Love them. Don't put people down or put them into and freeze them into some box and accuse them of something you don't know anything about. Am I a misogynist? I don't even know what you're talking about. Yes, that's what we will be accused of, these words. We know this. But those words have a funny sound. And they're coming from a heart that's a different kind of heart. And you got to get your ear tuned to the heart of God, me. Got to get attuned to the heart of God and follow Him closely. Then we will have the power and the authority to be salt and light in a dark world. Then we'll be able to say to our neighbor, I know it's been hard during COVID and we haven't talked much, but I want you to know I've been thinking about you and I'm praying for you. And God loves you. What's wrong with those words? They're from our hearts. And you're welcome to come with me and or we have a coffee, or how are you doing, and how are your children, and so on, you know. I'm not talking about politics. There's something much deeper. It's called the community. It's called the church, the body. It's called love and joy. It's called mercy and banqueting time and fellowship. It's called let's get along with each other because love never fails. That's body life. That's why we persevere through the year. That many people, it's a different kind of world for some people. It's the broad way. And how's that going for you, the broad way? How's that going for you? Is that working out good for you? Where according to what we understand, no, because we have done it ourselves. And we know better than anyone. But we have found Jesus Christ in life. So that's it. Amen.